Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can listen to the Warn Radio episodes on Dana Glenn Smith and warn-usa.com. And Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeart Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. And don't miss the featured posts this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows, featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, The Eternal Winds of the Inevitable. And featured on danaglennsmith.com, Prophetic Winner of Our Discontent, Power of Faith Over Fear. Featured on warn-usa.com, Enemies of the Cross of Jesus Christ, Obedience of Faith, Book of Romans, Part 31, Faith Believing Unseen. And don't miss these weekly shows of the WIBR Warn Radio on Wednesday, February 28th, Modern Martyrs, End Time World, Killing Christians, Food Insecurity, Attack American Churches, Advocacy Persecuted at Warn Radio. Thursday, February 29th, Jerusalem's Praise, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 207 on Battle Lines. And Friday, March 1st, Sound the Shofar, The Word of the Lord God and Man, Part 8. And be sure to get your copy of The Rising. The Rising is a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith. It's a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amidst the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Check out The Rising. He who opposes rises. Believers overcome by faith. When he who opposes rises, believers overcome by faith. And you can get your copy of The Rising on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Google Play, Angus & Robertson, and many more. And The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. And you can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. And while on the site, be sure to sign up for the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter and visit our Christian books and resource shop. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. Here we are on a Thursday night again.
Yes.
And we're getting close. We're going to be starting a new chapter here pretty soon. Either today or next week. And so then we just have literally a few chapters left, and we'll be through the book. That'll be a good day, because
yes,
we've been waiting
will.
A long time. We've stuck with it, and we've covered a lot of things. And, of course, this Isaiah series is not like, you know, a lot of people may think. We didn't spend our time going through all the Hebrew words and meanings and things like that. And we stuck with certain main themes and prophecies. And, you know, we went through each and every prophecy, looked at each and every, I mean, you know, the word, and we covered it. And we had a lot of in-depth sessions. So, at any rate, we're glad that I've enjoyed this Isaiah series.
I have too. It's been exciting and hard and good and encouraging.
And what's fun is to see everything that he said, and also relating it to, you know, the Bible and
yes.
the prophets, and
the,
relating it to the apostles
and the Lord, seeing the Lord in there. That's exciting.
So all of that goes together. So we're glad to see it.
Yes, we are. It's exciting.
And we're down to another week. Tomorrow's Friday. We have our morning show tomorrow, Sound the Shofar. And we're in part 9 of the Word of the Lord. And we'll be finishing that one also. And so we'll be... It's hard to believe, you know, and we're working on a couple of other projects trying to gather things together, because I've got a lot of stuff, and we've got even more stuff from previous websites, so we got a lot of information that we've got to get up, and... maybe we'll do it sometime in the next 100 years. I'm just kidding, of course. At any rate, you ready?
Yes. Salvation Comes, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 208 on Battle Lines. Salvation Comes. As this Isaiah study closes in on the very end of the book, our hope and redemption are nearing as well. For all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yet trouble and tribulation are filling the world ever so steadily. But for the believers, we know our Messiah Yeshua and Jerusalem will never be denied, thanks to our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Today in Israel, a war is ongoing, and peace is torn because of hellish bandits who want to destroy Israel, and with it, any hope for the city of Jerusalem or its inhabitants. Yet the will of the Lord cannot be stopped, but his work finished and completed for those who have hoped in and believed in the Messiah, Yeshua Jesus Christ. And now, back to you, Dana.
Thank you, Tower. And we are in Isaiah 62, verse 11. And I like this verse. You know, behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world. I like that. Unto the end of the world.
Yeah.
We're not at the end of the world, but we are in the end of days.
Yes, we are.
And I like that, because so many people act as if God doesn't declare the end from the beginning. And, you know, you never want to get to where you're going. But God is going to bring everything to a close in order to start a new chapter. And he had to redeem man fully first. and get the Messiah fully set up. And so now here we are. Verse 62 and verse 11. Chapter 62 and verse 11. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Now there's another phrase, another thing in Isaiah. Behold, thy salvation cometh. And he talks about the Messiah riding in on a foal, a small donkey, and they call it the foal of an ass. I think that's what they say. So your salvation comes. So when he rode through the streets of Jerusalem, and everybody laid out various branches and things for him, that was important. And his reward is with him and his work before him. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world. And that also means that he must have began the beginning of the world. And so we've already, we read the Bible, and in the Bible we got the beginning. So we know the beginning. We got her down. We know how man fell, and the Messiah has come, and the Lord Jesus, Yahshua, is known as the Almighty in Revelation 1. So now he's the Almighty. He's the one that's going, that the Lord God and our Father has placed everything into his hands. So he's bringing everything together, and then, all the prophecies that we look at, that especially the Gentiles, we spend half of our lives or all of our lives looking at, Revelation and reading, and especially when you're talking lately, you can get into what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, because that introduces the son of perdition and the signs and wonders, and he sets himself up as God in the temple of God. So all that has to be concluded, all of that. And then the end's going to come. So be sure you understand when the end of the world is. We ain't at the end of the world. It may seem like it's the end of the world. I can tell you this much. We got a lot of spoiled brats in America. We got a lot of people that aren't saved. We got a lot of young people that are totally, well, back in the 60s, they'd be known as crazy. Yeah, and I knew the hippies, and I knew the cowboys, and I knew the Mexicans. Had friends with Mexicans, cowboys, hippies. I had friends with all of them. So I know those groups. We didn't have any blacks. That's just the way it was. I ran around blacks when I was, in the service. And I had blacks that stood up for me, and I had blacks try to beat the living daylights out of all the white folk. So, yeah. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed. So say you to the daughter of Zion. Now see, the Lord, this is something too, because when you look at Israel the way it is now, it's surrounded by the enemy, and you have Hezbollah especially that's been firing rockets all over the place, and they've been threatening to, and they have like 5,000 rockets. That's what one of the estimates was. They got a lot of them. And so when you look at Hezbollah, and you look at Hamas, and then you look worldwide at all the people that hate Israel, and then you look at how, Biden is and his group of minions. I mean, they're not really very conducive to confidence. You see the people running America and you think, dear God in heaven, what happened? You know, I mean, if you really think about it, you think the aliens came down and swapped out people and took all the good ones to Mars or something. Because the people we got here are absolutely clueless. And so, say you to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Now, that directly affects, there's a couple things that affects, because we talk about salvation. Yahshua is found in Isaiah. There's prophecies regarding Yahshua in Isaiah, pointing to when he comes, when he rides into Jerusalem, and he's on a donkey, the foal of an ass, a small one, and he's riding, and they're throwing down all kinds of branches and everything. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the salvation coming right there. And that's the real salvation for Jew and Gentile both. But the thing of it is, it was a short time after they put all that down and said, blessed is he who came to the Lord. And they were all gathered around saying, crucify him, crucify him. What we do is take that as preachers and teachers of the Word of God. One moment you have a crowd, that is praising you, and they're calling you God, or they're calling you a prophet, or whatever, and it's really good. And the next moment, they're trying to kill you. They want to hang you on a tree, or they want to crucify you. And so for the Lord, that's just the way it was. And he knew all this. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And in this is pertinent, because when we talk about the prophesying, the Messiah had to come. He knew about it all the time. And so we find this in Isaiah when we can read that. We can also look at the pertinent aspects of Israel and how they're going to get saved. And Paul writes part of that in Romans chapter 11, where he tells you how it will all work out. But, today the people don't even give none of this a thought. They just rise up because Israel has done to Gaza. Well, you see, Israel didn't start the war. Number two, Israel didn't slaughter the women. And they say, well, yes, they did. No, they didn't. It was the Gazans and Hamas who started this, who slaughtered the women, who slaughtered the kids, who slaughtered the babies. And so don't try to feed me your line of bull when you all start blaming Israel for everything and the current situation that's going on. This is absolute nonsense. Y'all don't have sense here. And, of course, many of you are on that stupid TikTok and all the others, and you live and die by social media. Social media is corrupt to the core. So you better get a grip and seek the Lord if you want to know the truth. Otherwise, you're going to be blinded, you're going to take the mark, you're going to go to hell. So it's time for you to wake up. And you better understand the whole thing about the Messiah, Yahshua, who has already come. He's already went through crucifixion. He was dead and buried, rose from the dead. They put him in a tomb. He didn't stay there. They hung him on a tree. He didn't stay there either, on a cross. They hated his guts. Crucify him! And that was right after, of course, like I said before, that he was riding through the streets and they were praising him. Then they crucified him. And then, of course, they told the authorities that you better watch it because the disciples of Yahshua are going to take his body and say that he rose from the dead. Well, you see, Yahshua was walking around, but he didn't appear to those who didn't want him. And it's very, scripture's very, very clear here. He will appear to those who look for him. And when he was resurrected, he appeared to those who looked for him. and he was seen by 500 at once. You got to understand this. He isn't going to go to the high priest and say, listen, big boy, you thought you were going to kill me. But what you don't know is I am the real Messiah. I am the Lord, and I am the Almighty. And when you die and you put down your gavel here, I'm going to see to it you're going to live in hell the rest of your life. How do you like that, huh, big boy? You like that, huh? Well, see, that's the way I would say it, but the Lord wouldn't say it that way. I would say, who do you think you are? But see, he had to go to the cross. So, you know, we have to take the Americanism out of it and get back to the truth of what the scripture is saying about it. Because it was all planned by the Lord. So God doesn't hold feelings, bad feelings towards Israel, and he wants to redeem them. And of course, he wants to redeem America too. Now, I wonder why sometimes the way we act, but he does. See, God is not a man. See, in case you haven't figured it out, I'm a man and Tower's a woman. See, we have frailties. We're not perfect, although sometimes we think we are. But we recognize, we know better. So at any rate, let's go to Psalm 98, because we're looking at a few scriptures, and these scriptures just merely meant to reinforce and help this particular verse here.
Psalm what?
Psalm 98, 1 through 3. A psalm. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. Now see, we can look directly at the cross with this. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Because the ones who crucified him were heathen. And he has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, you see, the thing of it is, that last verse, all the earth has not seen. This is prophetic. This looks ahead. But, you know, when you're there living this, if you were there at the time of Yahshua, you wouldn't really be thinking about the context. You would be glad that you saw the consolation of Israel, which is the Savior. The Messiah. They expected him. They knew he was coming. They knew the prophecies. But they missed a few points. And so, when we look today, we see this, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of a God. That's not fulfilled totally, but it will be. I mean, we have a lot of people that are in the churches. We have a lot of people that know the Lord. We have messianic believers. We have people come to the Lord all over the place. We report on it around the world. You know, the various faiths. You know, when we talk about the Hindus, when we talk about the Muslims, a lot of those groups are coming to the Messiah, Yahshua. Romans 10, 11 through 18. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now that really can also be Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call him. Now the reason they say Greek is because when the Roman Empire defeated Greece and took it over, you know, it was part of the empire, the Greek language became a common language. Now see, that's one of the things that when we look at the Roman Empire, that its presence had a lot to do with the timing of the Lord's coming. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, who has believed our report? And that's even today. Not everybody's obeyed the gospel. Not everybody's accepted it. And so there's a lot of things that we can trace right back to the scripture. It has already been covered. So when you look at all of these, you see the fact that all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Because all the ends of the earth in the world today know about Christianity, they know about the Bible. But they haven't seen the fullness of that salvation. Because if the Lord was to come today, there's a whole harvest out there. Because they haven't accepted the Lord, they would be out. They'd be up the creek. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is all about that fulfillment of redeeming people, having them to hear. And then, you know, when you get in there in Romans about how shall they preach except they be sent? How can they believe, you know, if they haven't heard it? You know, we have been in the arena of evangelism since the apostles' time. And we're still doing that. But, you know, I don't think because of all the problems we have in the world that we have as many evangelists as we have had in the past. It's hard to tell. But in Bible school, we met the evangelists. We talked to them. We knew what it was like over there from their testimony. And so this has been a long time since we've been in Bible school with all the other young guys and gals. But, you know, so we definitely know about the evangelism. We know where it's going. So God's, you know, all this is because the Lord, you know, is not willing that any should perish. You know, I mean, he could have come a long time ago. You know, when the Lord resurrected, he could have gone up to heaven, done what he had to do there with the Father, because they had some things that they had to do to finish that anointing of the king who Yeshua became. And so once they got that done, I mean, you can see it in Revelation. It's in Revelation. So Matthew 21:4-5. Now here's the one I was talking about. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh on thee, unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So the foal, a baby of an ass, a donkey, you know, a jackass. No, not politics. This is an animal. We don't say anything about these animals because they're good, okay? It's only when man jumps in, he's the higher species. And sometimes I wonder if we got things mixed up. Because what we're doing in Congress, what we're seeing in America, I mean, people have lost their sense, and it's because of unclean spirits. It's because a lot of these young people have demonic entities in them, causing them to do that. So at any rate, that's a good one, because you'd think, if you're really a king, what are you doing on a jackass? What are you doing on an ass? But see, he came as a suffering servant. He came to speak of his Father and speak of the salvation and what he was here to do. But when he comes again, he's not coming as some lowly one that you want to crucify. He's coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and believe me, you ain't going to like it if you're not ready for him. So the best thing I can tell you is you need to repent today. You need to get right with the Lord and seek him with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Because he is coming soon. Read Revelation 22. I put that all over social media. He comes, Revelation 22. And that'll show you about a few things. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. There's a couple more verses to that. But what that basically says is, God's going to allow you to do what you want to do, and when he comes again, he's going to hold you accountable, period. And if you ain't lining up with his redemption and paying attention to the grace and mercy he's trying to give you, you're going to regret it the rest of your life.
And then Matthew 21, 4 through 5, and these are extra. And John 12, 15, and Zechariah 9, 9. Fulfilled. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion," that's in Zechariah, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." So then faith cometh by, now this is the other one, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have you not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world, because they were spreading the word of the Lord. So, you know, that's just one of many scriptures that are actually fulfilled. Because you get in Matthew and it tells you. Now down, here's Revelation 22. I put this in here for your sake, those of you who don't know what it is. 11 through 13. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now see, make no mistake. This is serious. You know, you're listening to our broadcast tell you about this, and we've talked about the Lord many times. But you see, we're not going to make you receive the Lord. God has a spirit, and that spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, convicts, teaches. He has a big ministry to help educate the believers, and to help, you know, to convict the sinners. Because the idea here is, the truth here is, you need to be convicted. You need to understand that this is serious business. And our churches, you know, this is more like a bowling club than anything else. This is serious stuff. Now let's go to verse 62. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That's talking about Jerusalem, because Jerusalem, now see, you have Jerusalem in its current form. But Jerusalem, the holy city of the Lord, is actually going to come down from heaven. The one you see here, you know, it's just a shadow of what will be. But see, we have the tribulation coming. We have the coming of the Lord. And of course, we got the mess we got now. So, Israel is in Jerusalem now. And mostly it's the tribe of Judah defending Jerusalem from all the Muslims who want to destroy everything they've done and kill every Jew on the planet. Now they say this. They believe that. That's their goal. And Arafat, when he was the first one, when he made the deal with Israel. And the one thing he started from the very beginning, instead of building a kingdom of peace, he built a city full of hate. And so by the time you have Hamas coming along, they dug trenches, built underground facilities, and they planned this attack on Israel. Hezbollah has been sitting over there in Lebanon, and Lebanon does not have enough military organization to get rid of Hezbollah. But they've been working on their stuff for a long time. They have been dreaming for the time that they could destroy Israel. That's how much the hatred is. I literally saw, and there was a video taken of them doing it, and these were Muslims who were crawling on their stomach in the mosque, committing themselves to destroying Israel. There was a whole bunch of them, and they crawl on their bellies before their God, wanting to be worthy enough to destroy Israel. Now that's what we're up against. What do you think they want to do to America? You think they're going to come over here and have freedom for all? You're nuts if you believe that. Because I can tell you, in all the years that I've been on this radio and we've been broadcasting, I have found antichrists and I have broadcast them. I have found, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 literal antichrists who claim to be Jesus Christ. And that's not all. I have come across in this country alone Muslims who practice and wait for the day when the Muslims and Christians fight in America. And that day is getting closer. And then not too recently, another imam came up, and he's in America. And he says, I wait for the day to destroy America and have Sharia law in America. These people, in their minds, have already got America destroyed and Sharia law and putting Americans through the laws of Sharia along with hanging them and doing anything they can. And you're worried about the Antichrist, as I call him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Excuse me. There's only one holy people. There's only one redeemed of the Lord. Only one. And that is through the blood of Yeshua, who died on the cross to set people free. The Jews and their law, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified. Now I got news for you, because the Muslims have law. The Muslim law is not going to save them any more than the Jewish, keeping the law as they know it is going to save them. It is only through the atonement, the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for our sins. Whether you like it, whether you hate it, whether you don't believe it, doesn't matter a bit. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, Jerusalem is going to be glorified. It's going to descend from the Holy Mount, from heaven. And I think what it's going to do is set right down in the middle of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be changed. At any rate, Isaiah 60:21, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Now see, that's the Jews. But they're going to be born again through the blood of Christ, the Messiah. It's by faith. 1 Peter 2:9-10, and the reason I put these in here is to show you specifically the two groups. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, and the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. That is Israel. And it's not just Judah, it's the whole of Israel. Yet, as Paul says, Israel is not all Israel, because we are part of Israel because of Yeshua, and also because of Abraham. Mainly because of Yeshua, but Abraham was justified because he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. Christians believe God, and it's imputed unto us for righteousness' sake. Abraham was not under the law. So you got to understand these principles here. Justified by faith. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, I could tell you something about that. I think we got a whole world full of peculiar people. That's not what it's talking about. You are separated out because of Christ. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, everybody has to come out of the darkness and into the light of Christ. Everybody. If you're going to be redeemed, that's where you need to be. Called out of the darkness, which in time past were not a people. Now, you see, the Gentiles were not really a people of salvation or redemption because Christ hadn't come yet. But now they're the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now that's Peter specifically on the chosen generation, royal priesthood, and the holy nation. And guess what? Peter is a Jew. The apostles are Jews. So it's not just about Gentiles. The Jews went out to preach to the Gentiles. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. So us Gentiles, we don't want to get a big head and think, well, God saved us. Because God can unsave you too if you've got the wrong mind and heart. First Peter 1, 18 through 21. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Now see, even the Lord said, through the traditions of men, the word of God is made, well, you
of
can...
Of none effect.
Of none effect, but I'm thinking null and void.
Yeah.
So, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot, he is the Passover lamb, and he shed his blood for us, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now that's what Peter is saying. Manifest in these last times. He said that, and that's a long time ago. Those were the last times. So when we talk about one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, you have to understand that this was a long time on human scale. But in the eyes of God, it's just a little bit of time. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Now see, this is faith and hope. John 4, 21 through 24. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh. Now this is the woman at the well. The hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That's because that's the line it came through. The Jews came through Judah. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so Jesus, Yahshua, is teaching her that it's not about a mountain. It's about worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. Wherever you are, you worship him in spirit and in truth. Revelation 5, 7 through 10. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Now see, this is the ceremony in heaven that he had to perform after he was raised from the dead, because he had to open the book, take the book and open the seals, and this would set the rest of the course of history, God's history, to bring in the redemption and everything that goes with it. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. And that's where all the stuff was written. And remember, there, your name is written down in heaven. Or it's not written down in heaven. They've got a book for that. They have a big library. And I have personally had a dream and a vision of that effect. And it had a lot of effect on me, but I can't tell you for sure that's exactly the way it's going to be. But the library that I saw, that I was taken there, and I was with an angel. This is true. I'm not making it up. But it was in a dream. And we came into this golden city. He took me to it. And I came, we stopped at this building, huge. I couldn't see the top, I couldn't see the top of it. And there was no doors, there was nothing. And as soon as we came there, a door opened and we walked in. And inside, as far up as I could see, it was round like a cylinder, and there were books everywhere. They had levels all the way to the top. And there was no stairs to get up there until you walked over there and a stair opened up. And we got on the stair and we were up there. And under a big lamp, there was this huge book. And the angel wanted me to go over and touch it and open it up. I remember that. Nevertheless, I think there's a lot of things we don't know. But the thing that's true is that Christ redeemed us. And the thing that is true is Isaiah saw a lot of things, and he was able. Now remember, Isaiah never talked face to face with the Lord. There's only one prophet that did that face to face, and that was Moses. And I remember a woman who was a preacher and a prophetess, and that's when I was running into all these people. And she said that she visits with Jesus every Monday. And he takes her to a place somewhere. And so, folks, the one thing the Lord told us, before he did any more explaining in Matthew 24, Mark 13 and Luke 21, is be not deceived. See, I tell you this, but I'm also telling you that the Word of God is what you need to depend on. Don't depend on any dream or vision, anything that I might have said. You depend on the Word of God and the Lord. And that's one of the reasons I don't talk about it much, is because people, you know, I'm not God. I'm just a preacher. I'm a watchman. And Tower's been with me as a co-worker. And we're just here to tell you about the Lord, go through the Bible, and prepare ourselves for His coming. And we want you prepared. Now we're in Isaiah 63. And in Isaiah 63, we find Yahweh subduing his enemies and restoring safety to his people. And of course, when we talk about these things and you get into all the various commentaries, you know, there's a lot of people that are in commentaries. But this particular phrase here, Yahweh is subduing his enemies and restoring safety to his people. Calvin believed that. Piscator, Junius, Noyes, and Jesenus. I don't know if I said those right, but they're the names. And so when we look at this, and this is just the intro. This isn't doing anything. The whole image of the prophet is that of a triumphant warrior returning from conquest, himself unharmed and unwounded, not that of a meek and patient sufferer such as Messiah. Now, the prophet we're talking about is Yeshua. And see, this is what I'm telling you, is that he's already done the suffering servant. We're entering into the triumphant Lord. Because he's not only going to be triumphant, he's going to get his people, Jew and Gentile both, and he is going to save them physically, spiritually. You know, whatever form we're at when he comes, he is there to gather us. Second, it is therefore not without the greatest perversion that it can be referred to the Messiah, nor should it be so employed. And so that part is telling us that there are a few things in here. And the objections against the application of the passage to the Messiah seem to be fatal only to one aspect of it. Namely, that which presents the Messiah as stained with his own blood, but though the warrior here very clearly appears stained with the blood of others, not his own, but the blood of vanquished foes, still that warrior may be the Messiah, and this is the numerous passages which he is represented as a victorious conqueror. Now see, this is where you have to understand these things. See, and this talks about coming from Bozrah. But the Lord is a conqueror, and when he comes again, he is going to physically, with the sword of his mouth, destroy the multitudes that are gathered against him. And they will be gathered around Jerusalem. So if you think Hamas is going to destroy Israel and destroy Jerusalem, it's not going to happen. Now, there's going to be a lot of problem, and there is going to be death in Israel. And there's going to be issues. But there's going to be a time when the Messiah comes back. And as far as the Gentiles, make no mistake, it's not going to go well with him either. Because the time of darkness of the Dark One will be ruling for 3.5 years. So, the beautiful accommodations of the language to the sufferings of Christ, and they interpret that as the Redeemer's passion, you know, as what happened to him. It certainly refers, however, to a conquering, not a suffering Messiah, and that's true. You know, when we look at this, this is overcoming. And Alexander supposes the conqueror to be Yahweh or the Messiah. See, and so you look at it, Henderson believes it's the divine Logos. Well, the Logos, you know, is mentioned in the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John referred that and told you that that was the Messiah that came, who suffered on the cross. But see, when he came, he had divested himself of all that glory. And he still had the anointing to defeat the enemy. And of course, it says, who is he? The first verse, that cometh from Edom. Well, Edom, when we read about Edom, it is an enemy of Israel or of the church. And this particular thing announces the overthrow. And that's what he's doing. And I see a conquering Savior that had just got done vanquishing the wicked. And so we will go through that. That's Isaiah 63:1. We're running out of time, but I'm here to tell you that we made it to chapter 63 now. And we're going to begin in verse 1. Now, all those other things I was reading, those are mere commentary remarks. And just to give you the overall look at it, you know, and you're going to find differences of opinion. You know, we're in the church. We got differences of opinion. There's going to be coming one, the Messiah, coming again, and his opinion will set everybody straight. I can guarantee you that. We will know the truth. For when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That's a promise. So we will know the truth. We will know every part of the truth. And we will know the book. And we will know what was true. And we will know how we interpret it. And we will see the whole thing. Father, thank you for this word. Bless this word to our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And bless those who listen whenever they hear this. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Okay, Tower, you do have a little more than 2 minutes.
Okay. Boy, I look forward to the coming of the Lord, and I'm thankful that he's victorious. When things look bad, remember the Lord is victorious. And you have victory in the Lord. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. We love you. We always hope the best for you in Christ Jesus. We pray for you. Please pray for us and your brethren around the world. And look to the Lord in all your situations. God is good. He's good every day. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go over to our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows. We have, if you get up in the nav bar, you're going to find a lot of shows, a lot of series that we've done. And so we have over 200. We're on 208 episodes of Isaiah alone, so there's a lot of stuff to listen to. You can also go to our other website at danaglennsmith.com. We got a lot of in-depth articles, you know, and that's the Watchman Institute. That's another arm of our ministry, so check them both out. Also, get a copy of my book, The Rising, a Christian fiction thriller. Go to our websites. And we got a lot of ads. Click on one of the ads and it'll take you for more information. And that way you'll be able to figure out exactly what it is. So, till next time, take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Be careful. Because, you know, there are traps everywhere. But the Lord can deliver you. He can keep you safe. Make sure of that. So until next time, shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.